Just hold for a second. You're ready.
Hello, good evening, everyone. Thank you, Pastor Mark, for the privilege of giving the chance to share the word after many, almost 2 months of being isolated from each other. And it is really a time of trial for everyone, and the fear of this virus is all over the world, and no one is actually excused, or no one is free from fear. And day by day, we are facing this fear. The vulnerability of our mortality is faced day by day. And it is just but natural that we want to survive this coronavirus pandemic. But despite this, we can learn from our text this evening, from Psalm 84, verses 1 to 4, that despite the isolation of King David from the sanctuary, he, I don't know how many years, but he missed the worship services in the tabernacle. And he has something to encourage us. And I hope that the message tonight from this psalm will encourage us both in our to be brave by God's grace, enabling us to survive these trials and fear at us day by day. So the reading from this evening is Psalm 84, 1 to 4. Okay, so having read by Pastor Mark, I would like to give you, to start with, a just very short introduction. The occasion in which the psalm was written. The psalm was evidently written when the writer was exiled from the sanctuary or the tabernacle. It was probably written by King David when he was compelled to flee from Jerusalem by reason of the rebellion of Absalom, which is the third son of King David. He lament this situation simply because not the threat to his position or being overthrown temporarily by Absalom, but because it separated him from the courts of the Lord, which is so precious, so passionate in his life to worship God and to give his praise and thanksgiving. The psalm, as we all probably have heard the reading, but continue reading it from the whole, there are only verse 12 verses. The psalm present to us or prepare us that the exiles, the person longing for the house of God, and that's the King David, is the son who wrote it. So he present to us why his longing for the house of God can actually encourage us. He himself was encouraged. And the first encouragement is that the psalmist longing for the house of God arose from his love for the house of God. It arose from the house, from his longing, from his, in his love for the house of God. The tabernacle was dear to King David. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place wherein thy honor dwelleth. Every godly soul loves the house of God. and Edomites in his worship. The psalmist continually showed to us, no doubt, had excellent reason for his love to the house of God. So, as he gave the excellent reason for his love to the house of God, so we should have that love as well. And we love it because, number one, it is the place of holy fellowship. It is the place of holy fellowship. In its sacred engagement, the holiest and the bravest souls unite. In other words, those who are so far from Jerusalem, they come as a pilgrim to come and worship because it is the place of holy fellowship. The communion of saints in divine and blessed exercises and experiences in penitence, that means repentance, mourning over sin, prayer, praise, aspiration, and adoration is enjoyed in the sanctuary by the people of God. Those are the experiences, penitence, prayer, praise, aspiration, and adoration. It is also the place, number two, it is the place of social prayer and praise. There, the glad and the grateful hearts, the fellow saints, and those who are being invited in the worship, as we are at present in our setup. There, the glad and grateful hearts pours out its joy and thankfulness in the hymns of praise consecrated by thousand precious memories. Of course, there are a lot of memories where we can remember when we come to the house of God, such as prayers answered by God, miraculous intervention of God in times of difficulties and trials, and continuously up to the present, the different pain and sorrow of God's people are being shared. They are precious memories. And there the people in pain and sorrow, they pour out their soul to God. And sincere, humble, devout praises is a foretaste of heaven. So that is what they do when prayers are answered. After even long, perhaps, many years of prayer, God answered the prayer. They were persistent in their asking God to intervene in their lives so that when God answered their prayers, song of praises, testimony of praises that are part of the fellowship is a foretaste of heaven to those who benefit from these testimonies and thousands of precious memories. And there as well, the anxious, troubled spirit can cast its burden in there on the heart of the loving Father, and it, or its sin, as I am, upon the Savior, who can also forgive numerous sin and find rest in Him.
Amen.
And also the third reason why the love of the psalmist continue to encourage us is because it is the place of instruction and exhortation. The teaching of the living and abiding Word of God is the forefront of their interest as well in the instruction and exhortation from the Word of God. The teaching of a godly and enlightened ministry cannot be too highly estimated, and its warnings and exhortation of unspeakable importance. Unending importance and of value to the soul, and they find encouragement from the teaching and instruction of God's word. Another one, the fourth reason why the psalmist loved the place of God, of worship, it is because it is the place of divine communion. There, said the Lord, I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee.
Praise God.
From above the mercy seat. To the godly, hearing this word from the Lord, to the godly soul, the presence of God is the great attraction in the sanctuary. How is our attraction in the what is our motivation in faithfully coming to God? That's a challenge to us. When his presence is blessedly realized by the worshipers from the word of God, from the faithfully exposing the word of God by the high priest or the Levitical priest, and now the pastor, when the word of God is executed in a clear and powerful way, then there is that presence of God being realized by a godly person, the fear of God. Feel the presence of God because of his holiness and his righteousness and all the blessings from that character of God. These people can feel the presence of God speaking to them to meet their spiritual needs. But this is the big but if his presence is not realized, no matter whoever or whatsoever else may be present, the one essential is lacking, which is the word of God in his presence is fullness of joy. That's why when we worship God, if we don't have that fullness of joy beaming and exalting God because of his word that bless us, we miss the point of worship. Adoration in the consciousness of his presence is the heaven of the soul. So when we realize the presence of God, the full adoration of God's people is so strongly felt, there is a unison of singing the hymns with joy. I wonder if we, in our observation, if some who are left to sing because of lack of familiarity with the hymns, I don't know whether they sense the presence of God, but we don't doubt that. But God is so merciful and gracious that when the word of God is taught with the power of the Holy Spirit, God speaks to the hearts of God's people. For all these reasons, the godly soul loves the house of God. And the second, those are the four reasons why the psalmist enjoy the house of God or love the house of God. Now we come to the second one, why the psalmist continue to set before us is the house of God. The second one is a longing for conscious fellowship with God. Sometimes we come to the worship without even longing or even have a advanced conscious fellowship with God. Sometimes we shake hands or people shake hands without looking each other's face. We just shake hands like that. But I think it's more than that, our fellowship. It is the joy of worshiping together, praying for one another, that prepare us to worship God. He said in verse 2 of that Psalm 84, because his longing for conscious fellowship with God is based on this verse 2, my heart and my flesh cry it out for the living God. Did you come across that verse? My heart and my flesh cried out for the living God. It was not so much the courts of the Lord's house that he longed for, as the living God himself. So it is actually the presence of God that he longed for. How many times have we worshiped God that we feel in our hearts the presence of God? Are we looking forward to the presence of God? Have you been blessed by the word of God and say to yourself honestly, I felt strongly the presence of God because he spoke to me? Religious ordinances, you know all them, are lifeless. That's as the baptism. There are two ordinances in the scripture, and the Lord's Supper. These are ordinances. They are lifeless, useless things. Formalities, if they do not help us to consciously to realize the presence of the living God. There must always have that sense when we come to worship God. His living presence is experienced by each one of us. The soul which is alive and healthful, that is full of health, cannot bear the sense of distance from God. In other words, if our soul has been always be a desiring to be drawn closer to God in a day by day, moment by moment walk with God, that is the soul that cannot bear the sense of distance from God. It cannot bear that to miss the worship of God. That is the life of David. That is the David focus on here. God is the life of every believer, of every worshiper. It is their life. God is their health, their inspiration, their joy, their crown of joy. It is their supreme and essential good. There's nothing good in us but the good of God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And in his absence, when we absent ourselves or we miss the opportunity to worship God, the soul continually languishes and is cast down. Why are you cast down, oh my soul? It's because we miss the anticipation of the presence of God. Maybe we come to church with the wrong sense of motive. That's why it's so important that we must focus with a conscious fellowship with God before we even come to worship God. Moreover, the psalmist addresses as one in whom he confided and with whom he was accustomed to holding conversation with God, as in verse 3, my God and my King. Those are the expression there in 84. My God, and in verse 3, O Lord of hosts, my God and my King. You see, in verse 3, it says, the sparrow hath pound and house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. David, as an admiration for this bird, this swallow, and the sparrows, because they have that blessings of being safe in the house of God.
Praise God.
It could not be perhaps exactly in front of the altar. There are courts, different courts in the temple, in the tabernacle. And maybe the nest that the sparrow and the swallow find themselves is perhaps one of the courts that is near the altar. It may not be at the back of the altar, but it's near the altar, one of those courts. So there is a sense of being zealous. When he saw this, because King David is isolated in the cave, and he cannot even have that opportunity. The follow and have freedom to come and forth to the safety and security they found in the house of God. But that is just the picture of why he longs. He longs and miss the house of God. And then, though exiled for many years or months, we don't know exactly how many years and months he was isolated in the cave because of Absalom's rebellion. Though the exiled king from his courts, though he was separated, he still loves the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Though far from the tabernacle, he still claims God as his portion. So he always longs for that God, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, today and in this hour of isolation. The repeated word "my" is in verse 3, my King, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, is a precious and suggestive word. It shows his holy intimacy with God. Those two, my God, my King and my God, that indicates and suggests a holy intimacy with God and a strong confidence in and deep affection for God. Do we have that strong confidence and intimacy, holy intimacy with God, and that deep affection for God? Well, we can see that as we experience in all and in whole to the godly person. Another one, why the psalmist sets forth his love for the house of God, is that is the longing of his entire being. My soul longeth, still in verse 3, my soul longeth, my heart and my flesh crieth for the living God. The psalmist was not conscious of any thought or feeling opposed to this strong desire. In other words, there is no mixture of perhaps he's not thinking what to eat afterwards, or how is his, or he's not probably worried about the infectious disease outside. He's not worried about that. His whole being concurred in it. My soul longeth, my heart and my flesh cried for of his concurrence. His whole being is set on the love of God and his presence in the house of God. He says that flesh, even flesh, that even his flesh, which is so frequently found lusting against the spirit, cried out for God, and all the desires and aspirations of his nature were for the communion of God. Can you imagine that? All the aspirations of the desires of his heart and mind in his nature is all focused for the communion with God. And the whole man, with every faculty and affection, thirsted for the sacred engagement and divine communion of the tabernacles of the Lord. The psalmist seems to have attained the state for which the apostle ages after prayed on behalf of the Thessalonians, the very God of peace sanctify you fully, and your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless. Brothers and sisters, blessed will it be for us when our whole being is thirsting after God. In response to such desire, God will give the fullest and divinest satisfaction in feeling his presence, in listening to his word, and the love of Christ, and the love of God, and the grace of God is strongly felt in us. And then finally, of course, because this psalm is connected, also written to Psalm David, he invited, when he was encouraged, he invited this psalm, let us go into the house of the Lord. Mm-hmm. That is David's invitation, because he wrote this when he was encouraged. David wrote this psalm for the people to sing at the time of their going to the Holy Feast of Jerusalem. This is a song of a pilgrim who delighted when encouraged to go into the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Mm-hmm. He was glad to go there because he loved the Lord and he wanted to give thanks to him. In verse 4 of Psalm 122. Do you look forward to worshiping God with his people on the Lord's day? Do you feel it is a great loss when great emergency stop us, prevent us, or even illnesses prevents us being at this house? Well, this is the very nature of King David when he was there suffering the threat of his son's rebellion. Well, he still feel that opportunity is lost because he loved God and he loved his place. So in the end, I would like to make this challenge. The church is a new Jerusalem. The Israel of God, according to Galatians 4:26-27, the church is established as the new Jerusalem. We live in a very confusing times, and the true church of God is open under attack. Do you pray, or do I pray for the church as the Jews? In verse 6, do you seek the good of the church? In verse 9 of this psalm, are you promoting the good of the local church even without being told? Are we promoting the local church to the community by being an enthusiastic and reliable member of the church? Are you keen to work for the Lord in your church where he placed you, particularly at Stranger's Rest? Are you such a spectator, watching others work while you are at ease? Well, this is a challenge to all of us. Are you an encouragement to your church leaders and fellow saints and other Christians outside? Well, in singing the last hymn, this will encourage us. The hymn, I love thy church, O Lord. May the singing of this last hymn will find answer to those questions. If we sing that last hymn after the closing prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for being with us on thy word. I pray that everyone have heard the challenge, the encouragement of King David, while even though he is isolated for a long period of time, he still loved God and longed to fellowship with his fellow believers. Mm-hmm. And I pray that this will be our portion. Mm-hmm. Whenever we miss, whenever we are in the church as well, I pray that this will be our joy and delight in worshiping you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.